when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, coming to you today with the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. We want to thank all of you that are tuning in today, whether it be by way of listening to your radio in your car, maybe you're at home on a computer, or whatever means you're listening to us today. We're so thankful that you have tuned in to our broadcast. Once again, I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here on the west side of Manchester. And if you'd like to go to our website to find out more about our ministry, you can go to theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com, and you can see all of our information pertaining to our ministry there. You can also go to our Facebook page. We have a Facebook page, and we have a lot of information pertaining to our ministry at Abiding Light Church on the Facebook. The Abiding Light Church. We are in Manchester, New Hampshire at 188 Conant Street on the west side of Manchester. And when you go onto our Facebook page, you can see some of our Sunday messages preached live in our sanctuary. And we'd like to invite those of you out that may be looking for a church to visit. We'd love for you to come by and visit us. Or if you're looking for a good home church where the gospel of Jesus Christ is preached, we would love to have you come. And we are over here at 188 Conant Street. That is 188 Conant Street, Manchester, New Hampshire. Once again, you can go to our website, theabidinglightchurch.com, and get any information pertaining to the ministry over here. Once again, we thank you. This is Pastor N.R. Davis coming to you with this Walking in the Light radio broadcast. Every Saturday, we come to you at 3 o'clock to 3:30, preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to get into a word that I shared with our home church this past Sunday. And I want to deal with a subject here pertaining to the Word of God. This is really the most important part of the life of the believer. The Bible declares that without the knowledge of the truth, without knowing the Scripture, without knowing the Word of God, you cannot know God. We can only know God through His Word. And if there's ever been a time in church history, and in really world history, that we need to know what the Word of God is saying in this day and hour. There are so many today that are ignorant and lack understanding, that have never been taught the truth, that really just have very little knowledge of the Scriptures. And that is why the Bible says, without knowledge, without a vision, the people perish. We need a word from God. And that is what we've come to do today, is to bring to you a word from the Lord. If you'd like to follow along in the reading of the Word of God today, we're going to go to the book of Nehemiah. The book of Nehemiah, chapter 8 and verse 1. This is a message and some teaching and preaching that we did over here at the Abiding Light Church this past Sunday. And I wanted to share out of verse 1. And the Bible says in Nehemiah 8 and 1, and all the people gathered themselves together as one man into the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. Now, if you know about Ezra and Nehemiah. These were two men of God that God had used at a time after the children of Israel were allowed to be released from their 70 years of bondage in Babylon. It was decreed by King Cyrus that they could go back to their homeland. And I believe there was three different waves of people coming back to their land of Israel. Many would not come home. They were happy to stay in their place and comfort in Babylon. But many people had a desire to go back to the homeland of their forefathers. And where we read in the Bible declares after 70 years of captivity, they would go back to the land of Israel. And there would be a work of restoration, not only with the city being rebuilt and the temple being rebuilt. And what God chose to do was raise up men during this time that would not only do physical work, but spiritual work of restoration. And the book of Ezra and the book of Nehemiah are actually two books in one, though they are separate books in the Word of God. But they're actually a continuous story of two men doing the work of God to restore the people of God back to their covenant-keeping God. Nehemiah would be used. He was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes, and he was one that when he heard the report, of the condition of the people of God back in Israel, he would be burdened. He had a burden in his heart. He had a real desire to do what he could do to rebuild the city and restore the lives of God's people. So Nehemiah is burdened by God. His heart is touched by God after he hears the news that the walls have been torn down and that the gates have been burned and everything was in disarray in the city. The enemies of God's people able to come in and oppress them and do all sorts of evil things to God's people and tormenting them. And it was a time of oppression upon God's people. And when Nehemiah heard the condition of this, and you've got to remember, he had a life of luxury, really. He was a cupbearer for King Artaxerxes in the land of Persia. And the Bible says when he heard the reports of his people, he was smote in his heart with a burden. The Bible says he begins to pray. Nehemiah begins to pray. He begins to cry out to God. And God puts within the heart of this man a desire to go back. He has a desire to go back and bring restoration back to the people of God. And God uses Nehemiah to do a great physical work of restoration upon that city. Many of you that have read the story, he is equipped and given papers by the king. He has been given a small entourage of an army by the king to go back to the homeland. And he had his protection. He had the finances. He had everything he needed to make the journey back. And Nehemiah came into the city. He seen the physical condition and all that had needed to be done. And the Bible says that he declares that no man knew what God had put in his heart to do in the city of Jerusalem. Now, you've got to understand that this was not just a good idea. This was not just a suggestion. This was not something that Nehemiah was told necessarily to do. But you've got to understand, this was a call of God. This was God drawing him to do a work for him, to bring a work of restoration back in Jerusalem. So he is sent back to this land, and the Bible declares that within 52 days, by the favor of God and much help from many willing-hearted men, he does a physical work of restoration very quickly upon this city. Things are restored. The economy begins to turn around. The lives of the people and their well-being begin to do much better because of a man that had a burden in his heart to help the people of God. 52 days it took Nehemiah and many willing-hearted men that would help him complete the task of restoring the city. So Nehemiah is sent by God to do a physical work. And then we go to the book of Ezra and we begin to read about a man. He is a scribe. He is a priest. He is a teacher of what they would call the Torah, or the first, I believe, five books of the Bible. He was a man that would be used by God to take the laws of Moses and the laws of God and begin to teach the people. You got to remember, the people now in this city that they've seen a city restored physically, now they need their covenant and their relationship with God restored. Many of them have been far removed during that 70 years of bondage in Babylon. They had been far removed from knowing God, knowing his laws, knowing his ways. And so when they come back out of Babylonian captivity, this is a people that were ignorant. They were unlearned. They did not know the ways of God. So God raises up Ezra. And Ezra is in chapter 8 in verse 1. He is asked to bring the book. The Bible says that they asked him to bring the book. And in the setting in the city, there was many people out on the streets. And they were, the Bible says, before the water gate. And they gathered as one man all together to hear the scribe, the priest Ezra, bring the book of the law of Moses to them and teach them. And brothers and sisters, this is what brings forth revival. This is the beginning of an awakening in this city of Jerusalem. This is the beginning of the hearts of the people turning back to their covenant-keeping God. And amen, I want to put an emphasis on understanding in verse 1 of Nehemiah chapter 8, they asked for the book. They said, give us a man that can teach us the word of God. Give us a man, and this is what they desired, to know God through his word. And this is the only way that we can know God is through his word. The sad thing today is that many families and even Christians have many Bibles laying in their homes. We've got them on our cell phones. We've got them on our iPads. But we fail to read the Word of God on a daily basis that we may have a close relationship with Him and know Him through His Word. Without knowing God's Word, we cannot know Him. So there was a hunger in the hearts of the people to know this God and to be restored back into covenant with this God. So once again, this is Pastor N.R. Davis coming to you with the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 on this radio broadcast here on WDER Radio. So once again, as we get back to our Bible study here, we see Nehemiah does a physical work of restoration, but it is Ezra that comes to do a spiritual work. And brothers and sisters, we would all have to agree that the condition here in our nation of America, we are a nation that believes God, and many people are very religious. They talk about God. They claim to be believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But I believe that, brothers and sisters, a large majority of professing Christians really don't know the God of the Bible. The Bible says there are many that have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And we've got to understand it takes more than just knowing about God. It takes more than just your father or your mother taking you to church. It takes more than just going to church to be a true Christian. We've come to the place to where we as a nation think that if we just simply talk about God and we know a few stories out of the Bible, and I've gone to church, I've gone through the religious motions of Christianity, that that makes you a Christian. But I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, it takes more than just a profession to be a believer. It takes you possessing something. Amen. This is the problem today, is that we have many that profess that they know him with their lips, but their hearts are far from him. And this was the condition of this time of Ezra and Nehemiah's day. This was a generation, amen, that knew God through their parents and their forefathers. But it was a type of situation where they knew about God and the great things that God did for their forefathers and the people, but they did not know him themselves. And they needed a revival in Ezra's time. They needed a work of restoration that would restore the governments of their nation, would restore their leaders, that would restore the priests, that would restore the offices of the nation, and men and women of God that would begin to fear God and begin to serve him through the covenant and the laws of God of Moses. You've got to understand it was God that gave Moses these laws. And when they asked for this book, Ezra brought out the book. Amen. It wasn't necessarily a book that was open like we read today. It was more like a scroll. And the Bible says here that as Ezra was sent to them, they asked him to bring the book. And the Bible says they had prepared a pulpit for him to stand upon in front of all of the people that came together. And the Bible declares that when Ezra opened up the book, in Nehemiah 8 and 5, Ezra opened the book. I want to say that again on purpose, repetitiously. Nehemiah 8, 5, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. There was a great reverence. There was a great respect for the word of God. And there was a hunger that was there. The people were attentive, the Bible says, to hear the reading of the law of God. Could I interject and just say something right here? If there's ever been a day and an hour that we needed some men of God across America and around the world in our churches, behind the pulpits, to stand up and open up the Word of God, it is the day and the hour that we're living. We have a day and an hour where we have so many churches that have forsaken the teaching and the preaching of the Word of God. And because of this, we have a generation of believers that don't know God, that don't really know him in his fullness, don't really understand who he is. And somehow we've allowed God to become old-fashioned. That's the God of our grandparents and our great-grandparents. And that's the God of just an old-fashioned God back in the early 1900s. But listen to me. I want to remind you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not, and that his mercy endures to all generations. The word of God is for every generation. It's just not for generations of thousands of years ago, or even just presently within the last couple, 200-300 years, the word of God is for every generation. And can I tell you, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. What applied to them back then is what applies to us today. Heaven and earth, the Bible declares, shall pass away, but the word of God shall never pass away. So we see that Ezra stands up, the Bible says, upon a pulpit, a wooden pulpit with many priests and many scribes. And we're preaching out of Nehemiah chapter 8. And if you're just tuning in, this is Pastor N.R. Davis. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can also go to our Facebook at Abiding Light Church, and you can see all that we have pertaining to our ministry here at the Abiding Light. So here, Ezra stands up on this wooden pulpit and begins to declare the word of God and the laws of Moses. And he begins to teach the people. And the Bible says, as he begins to teach the people, there is a groaning, there is a weeping, there is a crying that begins to take place as they hear the laws of God taught to them by the scribes. And as Ezra begins to declare the word of God, oh, hallelujah. And can I tell you, that's the only thing that will bring a revival to a nation. Amen. This awakening in Ezra's day and in Nehemiah's day, it came forth when the book was opened by the preacher. When the book was opened up by the priest Ezra. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, God does not change. Anytime God is going to bring forth a revival, he will raise up some men of God. He will raise up some evangelists. He will raise up some preachers, some teachers, some pastors, some evangelists, men of God, whether it be apostles, whether it be prophets. I believe here at the Abiding Light Church, we believe in the fivefold ministry. We don't believe that the power of God has changed, that God is still using the fivefold ministry to do his work in the body of Christ, to build up the church through the gifts that he gives by his Spirit in apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists. Amen. This is the way that God displays his power to the people of God is through the gifts of the Spirit and the preaching of the Word of God. So, brothers and sisters, I want you to understand today, if there's ever a day and an hour in America that we need some men like Ezra to stand up behind the pulpits of America and declare what thus saith the Lord, it's the day and the hour that we're living. One of the reputations that we've been known here at the Abiding Light is that when you come to this church, we're a traditional old-time, full gospel church that preaches the uncompromised Word of God. And listen, it's not the programs, it's not the good ideas of ministries that's going to save the souls of men and women in our communities. Our nation needs the old-time gospel of Jesus Christ to be preached. Listen, it's not old, but we refer to it as it being old because it's a book that was written over 2,000 years ago. The gospel of Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it has not lost its power. Paul the Apostle said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 that I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation for every man that will believe. This gospel is for every nation. And if there's ever been a day and a time that we in America need to hear some men of God rise up and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the day and the hour that we're living. It is not the fancy programs. It's not all of the different get-togethers in the church and all of the things that we look to cater and offer the people. Nothing wrong with programs. Nothing wrong with reaching out to the youth and having different things in the house of God. But can I tell you, when we remove the pulpit for soft chairs of sitting back and just having a good time sipping coffee and eating donuts in church, brothers and sisters, God's word declares it's the foolishness of preaching that men need to hear to be saved. And that is still the way. Amen. I thank God for our programs. I thank God for the ways that we reach out to the community. But the Lord said in his word, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So we've got to realize that we need to get back to preaching the gospel and the word of God to the people. And without this, America will see no revival. America will never see an awakening until some men get behind the pulpit, amen, and begin to preach like a John the Baptist, begin to preach like a Paul the Apostle, begin to stand up like on the day of Pentecost, like a Peter that came out of the upper room and began to declare to 3,000 that got saved in one message, in one sermon of preaching. He began to preach to them a message of repentance. This is the same message that John the Baptist preached. This is the same message that Paul the Apostle preached. And can I tell you, it cannot change in our day. The message that needs to be preached in our time is not about houses and blessings and red Cadillacs and having lands and all these promises and blessings. Listen, I thank God for his promises. I thank God for his blessings. I thank God for all of his physical blessings that he gives us. But what we really need to understand is we need the word of God. This is the message that must be preached to our generation. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I know it's not a popular message, and it's not a message that many pastors or preachers are going to preach in our churches anymore, but it is a necessary message, and it's the message that will see the souls of men and women saved in our day and hour. We have a generation that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you've got to understand, unless they hear the message of repentance, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, no man is going to be saved. So we look at Ezra. He began to teach, he began to preach. And what transpired was an awakening of God's people. Many of them turned their hearts back to God and began to serve the God of their forefathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And what took place in Ezra's time was when he opened up the book and began to preach the word of God, the hearts of the people were turned back to the God of their fathers. I want to encourage those of you that are listening today, get into church, find you a good Bible preaching church. I'm surprised that so many are not running to a good Bible-believing and preaching church in the time we're living. Listen, Jesus is soon to come, and Jesus is coming back for a people that are prepared to meet him. And the only way that you're going to have your heart ready to meet Christ is you've got to know him. And the only way you can know him is through the Word of God. I want to encourage you to find a good Bible preaching church. And if you're looking for a good home church, if you're looking for a church that preaches the gospel, we're over here on the west side of Manchester. My name is Pastor N.R. Davis. And you can come over here at 188 Conant Street to hear this gospel of Jesus Christ preach. We don't have a bunch of fancy programs or things to offer the people, but we do have the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is enough to transform and change the lives of any men or women. It had changed my life, and it changed so many of others of our lives that are listening today. So I want to encourage you, if you'd like to find out more about our ministry, you can go to theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. And you can go to our website. You can go to our Facebook page. We go live stream every Sunday morning between 12 and 12:30 at the Abiding Light Church on the Facebook. Go to our Facebook page and like it. That is the Abiding Light Church on the Facebook, and like our page. Amen. And so we want to invite any of you that would like to come out. We're over here once again at 188 Conant Street on the west side of Manchester. And we're looking forward to maybe seeing you in one of our services. And until next Saturday at 3 o'clock, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.